You've been given access to receive messages of clarity, guidance, and love. As channeler, psychotherapist, and author, Noemi Grace has an intimate dialogue with the divine on your behalf. Lisa Berry, creator of the show Light on Living, will be co-hosting as live callers ask their burning question on self-love, self-healing, deepening relationships, areas of struggle, and next steps. By simply listening in, you're receiving wisdom that will lead to sacred stability from every channeled message that Noemi delivers. Join us now as we give you access to angels and grace. Hello, everybody. Hello. Noemi Grace, my yes. lovely co-host. Do you know that every time we hear the intro, a different word or sentence pops out? And on that one, I have to share that I'm going to kick off our show by saying, yes, this is an intimate dialogue that we're able to have with Divine and Source because of our sacred stability. And we seem to be going on this journey of sacred stability. So that really jumped out to me. So I just wanted to say thank you, Noemi, for helping us have this intimate dialogue.
Oh, thank you, Lisa, for being with me on this journey and even envisioning that this journey could be possible, because without you, I would not be on the radio. So...
Aw, oh, the vision. Oh, and did you catch that Om Times Radio, by the way, for all the listeners, we have surpassed the 1 million downloads.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yes. And so certainly everybody, so if we all hold this vision, we haven't got a clue what's possible, but we just, you know, well, I should say we follow the clues. Follow the clues, keep envisioning and stepping into it.
I like that.
Oh, yes, I should mention that. 1 million downloads on one platform. Sorry, yes, highlight that. So access is being delivered everywhere.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I love how you said follow the clues. And then you, when we were talking earlier, you said there's this trail that we're walking. And yeah. You know, it's kind of Hansel and Gretel-ish, you know. There's there's the breadcrumbs and we follow them. And we're open and not attached to the agenda, an agenda at all, and for the most part, and just open to what shows up. So we often have an idea of where we're going for the next few weeks, and then something else shows up. And turtles have been showing up for Lisa, and we're going with turtle today. And we'll be sharing a little more about that.
Yes. Oh, what's so interesting, you know, I wonder, see, if we were doing our Facebook Live, which we do, everybody, on the alternating Wednesdays, if you want to join us at 12 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Magazine. But I was going to say, if we were doing this, the turtle, I would ask everybody, what is the first thing we think about with turtles is slow. But this has nothing to do with being slow and our turtle showing up, does it? Oh, I like it.
Ooh, well, I think of the shell first, actually. And I think about the several turtles that I've rescued from being run over because I live near wetlands, and the turtles come out in the spring and they just are walking around in the road, in the middle of the road. And so kind of I stop traffic and grab the turtle and I put the stop up with my hand. And so, and the thing about turtles that why we're bringing it up is because, Lisa, you were having this awareness that the turtle needs to have discernment as to when to be in the shell and when to be not in the shell. The turtle can't be in the shell all the time or it will starve. But if it's out all the time, it may encounter danger that it can retreat from by going into the shell.
Yes, you're exposed, but in a good way. When you stick your head out of that shell, yes, you're exposed, but you have enough experience to know that when it is, I don't want to say safe, but you know what I mean, when it's appropriate, when it's good for you. And you were the one, I like this, discernment. That's a really cool word. I'm going to ask you, can you define discernment in your words right now?
Oh my, being put on the spot. So discernment is a very powerful word for me because I studied with a medicine woman I apprenticed with her for like 11 years. And this was a really important topic for her, that she thought that we need to have discernment so that we know what is safe, what is good for us, what is not. And we can discern the energy of a situation or a person and pick up, you know, oh, wow, this person is emanating love, or this person is throwing darts at me energetically. And so that discernment is the ability to differentiate between two or more things. Like, I can discern that, like, when you first talked that very first time, I have to say, here's this woman from Home Times Radio going to see if I can be on her show. And I was intimidated before I talked to you. And as soon as you opened you called and I heard one word out of your mouth, I was like, ah, okay, here it is. This is not some scary woman from Home Times Radio. This is love. This is a loving person, you know? And so it is that ability to differentiate. And so many of us have lost that because we've either trusted too much because we didn't know how to differentiate between who was trustworthy and who was not, or we have grown up in an environment where it was not safe to trust, so we hold that trust. The trust is inside the shell, and we don't allow that to come out. And so that discernment is really important, because without it, we might be walking on the hot coals or treading water. Doesn't mean that we're going to have 100% accurate discernment 100% of the time, but when we have a really good, it's like a radar, where we can tell and we can pick up something. And so we get two options. Should I take job A or job B? Going on the interview, discerning, ooh, this boss is going to be really challenging. You know, they're glaring at me, or just, you know, even discerning, wow, I haven't met many people at this job, but when I walked into that office, just the vibe that I picked up was really positive, and things like that. So it's such a vital skill, and it is a skill. It's not an on or off thing. I have discernment or I don't. It's not a light switch. It's a skill to develop. So, and we develop it sometimes more by discerning incorrectly, by not reading that someone is having an ulterior motive with us or something like that.
That is so cool that you said that. It's not, I never would have thought about it. Discernment isn't on or off, it's a skill. So that means to me, we need to practice it. And
absolutely.
I just love that you said, there's so many things I love that you said, because well, taking that right there, that's like a lesson. That's a tip right now I want to highlight. Discernment is not either on or off. It is a skill, and it's not always 100%. So we don't want to be hard on ourselves, but we do need this experience, because if we, as you said, and this, I can envision this with the turtle, if the trust is all inside of the shell and you don't have trust on the outside of that shell, you gave that perfect little thing, like the poor little turtle will starve. He will not have enough trust to go out and fill up his cup, fill up his energy source.
Right.
Yeah, that's such a good visual for me right now.
Yeah, I love, I mean, I never considered it that way. So already I'm connecting with the divine, and I went into my experience, but then I also channeled a little, that was channeled about discernment being a skill. And I like that you said we need to practice it. And if we don't practice it, we don't get very good at it. I took piano lessons as a child. My grandmother had this image, this desire that when she was old, and she wasn't old at the time because I was in second grade, that somebody, one of her grandchildren, would play the piano for her, and she could just enjoy that. So I, being the oldest grandchild, it came to me, and I didn't really feel like I had a choice, so I took it. And because I was good in math, I could figure out the timing and so forth. And because I have emotion, I could put some emotion into it, but it was a skill that I really had to practice. It was not innate. It was not inherent with me at all. And I really didn't practice all that much, so I didn't get that good at it, even though I took piano for a long time. So it really is a practice, and it's one that benefits us. You know, for me, I was like, why should I play the piano? I knew my grandmother wanted it, but that wasn't kind of enough motivator for me. Unfortunately, my niece became really good at it, so my grandmother did get to hear that before she passed. Yeah, so
she only had to skip one generation. That's good.
Yeah, that's going it, to the grand. Yeah, yeah.
You start one place. She wasn't attached to outcome, and then she got the niece to play.
She might have been. No, she was. She wasn't. It was just a dream of hers, and it was a sacrifice for her to buy that piano, because she did not make a lot of money, and she put it on a monthly payment, and she was paying it for years.
Just committed.
Aww. Yeah, she was committed. So I don't know. We're certainly going down some trail here, but
some turtle trail, but a rabbit hole. But when you said it does benefit us, this is so interesting. I actually had to learn that being discerning. I had to learn myself that by being discerning, there were benefits because I was really experiencing a life of no discernment, I'm not going to be very discerning and just trust in everything. And then if I get hurt, well, I'm still alive, so I can just continue. And that helped me down a lot.
Was that really a conscious thought process?
It was. It was because I thought, wow, look at that. I got either that, you know, that didn't turn out so, it turned out so badly or poorly for me, but I'm still here again. Can do more. And so my relationship with discernment was really off. And I thought, wow, I think there's a difference to me that I learned that I could have control, that I was worthy of control, that I deserve control, that it was fun to have control when I practiced being discerning. And so whether we have you channel this or I just want to ask you, how do you see discernment benefiting you in your, in your life, yes, but in your spiritual life, how does discernment benefit you in your spiritual life?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, there's so many spiritual modalities, so many spiritual practices, so many spiritual teachers, and it's been quite some time now, probably 2 decades that I had this awareness that I'm on a spiritual journey, that I consciously said I'm on a spiritual mm-hmm. journey, and so. Many different options came my way, and I started to make friends that were aware that they were on a spiritual journey, and there were definitely some modalities that did not click, and there was one in particular that I didn't feel a resonance with, but I went with it, and mm-hmm. I had a physically painful experience receiving that healing modality, and it was like, this is not your alignment, and it's not the modality, there's nothing wrong with it, it just was not my alignment. And so, and that's a word we'll talk about in another show. I just knew that it wasn't mine, it didn't resonate, and mm-hmm. so I didn't listen, and you know, I had a sense that this is just not going to work for me. But I was just like, well, but my friend is practicing this thing, and you know, and then I'm getting pain. I'm like, oh. So, it was
wow.
So, and when a teacher shows up, when an opportunity shows up, it's like, what's the resonance here? Can I? When I met the medicine woman that I worked with for so long, when I first met her, I just had a strong sense of like, okay, this is somebody that I need to know. And other people have come and gone, and I've gone to workshops and circles and things. And if you know the discernment, you can feel that discernment, you know, this is good for me. Mm. It's kind of like somebody who can't eat gluten. And if, you know, if they're eating gluten, it's not the gluten's bad, but it's not beneficial for them. It may be harmful for them. So
and I like that you said, because you worked with a shaman for a period of time, but then we move on. We choose teachers and we choose modalities, and they are in alignment, and we have resonance with them at that time, but then it can switch. And you said the key word there, and I think that, not this segment, but when we come back from commercial, I thought, like, discernment that respects our soul, and you summed it up in nice, easy language. It's good for me, right? That's what it is. Yes. When it's good for you, that discernment, that decision there respects our soul. And I'm dying to ask Source that question when we get back, though, about a little go deeper on that, because respect is interesting when it comes to discerning.
Well, it is. And it's a form of self-care, too, if you think about it, because we've got a few minutes here before commercial. So it's always easy for us to chat. So so it's a form of self-care. To not discern, to be saying, let the cards fall where they may, you know, I know I'll be okay no matter what, which is a great mantra, but why not choose what's really in alignment, what feels best, what mm-hmm. is best? And we don't always get that on the first go round, but if we just allow everything in, not everything is good for us. Some of it's going to be that gluten that we can't process. You know, some is going to be something that we can't process. And maybe the next person can process it. Maybe they, it's good for them and bad for us. And it's not that it's bad, like, ooh, bad, but it's not helpful and it's not beneficial. I like that word. Mm. Beneficial is a word I heard from the divine, which is a word I never used, but they use it quite a bit with me. And I like that because is it benefiting me?
I love that. Choose what is beneficial.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes.
That's self-love. That's self-care. And so actually, we didn't even do our reading.
Oh my gosh. Yes, let's do that.
So why don't we do that real quick?
Okay.
And so, because I'm thinking about how that word is in my book. And so I'm reading a part of a segment on this message called Rise Above the Human Condition. And we may be 1 minute past the usual commercial. And so the divine had told me that they had said, you are all in your own way because you don't love yourselves unconditionally. And so I'd asked, well, how do we get out of our way? And they started to talk about, they said, you get out of your way by being willing to see and do differently. You each repeatedly make the same choices as you continue to see with the same distortions. By being willing to ask, what am I not seeing here? And how am I contributing to this? Be willing to ask. When you ask different questions, you will get different results. Many of you do not ask yourself questions. You go through life with blinders on, reacting to what happens and trying to control anything and anyone you think you can control. The mind drones on endlessly with the same distortions every day because it sees with blinders on. Only the heart can see without blinders. Learn to ask yourself thought-provoking questions and answer them from your heart. Ask yourself deeper questions without attaching judgment and blame to anyone. Stop avoiding, rejecting, and judging yourself, and seek to know yourself more fully. Be willing to ask, and you will receive answers you can't imagine. The journey to self-love starts by asking yourself better questions. Stop asking, what is wrong with me? Why is this happening to me? Start asking, what do I see when I look at this from love? And what do I choose if I choose from love? You are all beauty at your core, in your essence. Yet you think you are ugly and feel shameful and guilty. This is the true tragedy of the human condition. We will teach you how to rise above the human condition, to go deeper than the judgmental layers you have stacked on your true essence. When you dive deep into yourself, you will be astonished to find someone beautiful, amazing, and gifted. Mm. I think I'll stop there.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, we'll sneak away to commercial, but there's a big one there about what discernment is not, and I can't wait to share that when we get back.
Okay.
Access to Angels and Grace. Join us again, and Noemi Grace will be channeling from the divine, and we're going to find out how you can best discern so that it respects your soul.
Like that.
Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
The universe is eager to help you and give you clarity. You only need to be willing to ask your burning question and listen to the answer Source wants you to have. As a channeler of divine messages, I take your questions directly to the divine and hear what Source is longing to tell you. I'm Noemi Grace, and my co-host Lisa Berry and I welcome you to join us as a listener or caller on Access to Angels and Grace, 2 Wednesdays a month. Call in, ask your most burning questions, hear the divine's exact words giving you guidance and clarity. Access to Angels and Grace, where messages of joy await you.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
That commercial just made me think, do turtles make sounds? Because if you've saved many, maybe you've heard them make a sound. I don't know.
I have never heard them make a sound, and I've picked them up. There was even one that was, I was in the woods, and there was a pond at the bottom of the hill, and the poor thing is crawling up the hill, and it was hot, and there was nothing there. So I picked it up, and I turned it around. But, you know, the shell is easy to grab a hold of, and so... No, I mean, I don't go anywhere near the mouth. You know, I go from the back and pick them up. So I never heard a sound out of turtles, but I think they might make noise. I've seen baby hatchlings. I've seen 12 turtles at a time, little ones. Very sweet.
They're very, very sweet little guys. Well, I was just what you had read from page 43, which was titled Rise Above the Human Condition. And everybody, if you are following along with us when we do our shows here, Noemi Grace, author of An Intimate Dialogue with God. And this is The Miraculous Power of Unconditional Self-Love. And this is fun that we get to, well, you know, read out loud this. You always find the perfect one. And I heard during that reading, because we are talking about discernment, that sometimes it's easier to first start off with what is it not? And I heard when you were reading there about asking deeper questions of ourselves, but I heard that, you know what, discernment is not being judging, it's not blaming, and it's not avoiding. And that really stuck out to me, because, or even rejecting. It's none of those things. So if you are saying, if somebody had accused you of being so discerning, it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. And I used to think that I would have, like I had mentioned, I'm just being totally vulnerable here. I would just really have put full trust into everything and everybody and have faith that I'd be okay. But that's actually, by me not being discerning, I'm actually being irresponsible. I am not taking control. Mm. And by avoiding, right? So that's what, I was not being discerning. I was avoiding taking control, stepping into my value, my worth, that this is a standard for me. This isn't judging, rejecting, blaming. This is a good thing for me to be discerning. And I felt it was a bad thing to be discerning. So I love that was shared there. That was a big thing for me.
Yeah. And I like that connection. I used to think discernment and judgment were kind of the same thing. You know, I can judge that this is good, or I can judge that it's bad, or, but it's not. It's judgment has become too laced with negative energy.
Yes.
So discernment
laced.
Is laced. It is laced.
Getting drugged with judgment. That's a good title.
Yes, drugged with judgment. Yeah, I'm sure. I would say I could relate to that from past. But that discernment is really, it's kind of like when people do the muscle testing, which supplement is better for me? You know, that's discernment. Mm. They're holding one in each hand and they're looking at it. They're seeing what their body tells them. And the body is a discerning vehicle. The body can discern, but we don't necessarily listen to it. And so our heart can discern as well. And our soul even, you know, it's we, who we are, the core of who we are is able to discern what's good for us, what's really good for us.
Yes, my God, I love that you said that. And muscle testing, okay, we're hashtagging that right now. So everybody, I would never thought that our body can be a discerning vehicle, but we have to listen. And so that would be my question for Source right now for, on behalf of everybody we're back to listening, but it is about, I guess, information. How do we hear our own, what the question was how can we ask Source, how can we best discern so it respects our soul?
That's such a great question. It's such a great distinction. I would never have articulated. Sometimes you articulate things in such a way that it's like, wow.
I've had a lot of practice. See, we practice these things, we get better.
Yes, you have, and yes, you can. And you're often good at it. So
Thank you. Take it in.
All right. So we're not going to reject that. So I'm going to take just a few seconds to get silence and deepen the connection with the divine, and then I'll greet the divine. I'll greet Source and turn it over to them to hear the words of wisdom. About, and what was your question again? I didn't write it down.
How can we best discern so it respects our soul? Yeah, that's the end goal.
Respecting
our soul. What feels good?
Respecting our soul, yes. We delight in this question. Lisa, we're glad that you heard what we put into your ears about the respect of the soul. You too have an ability to hear. And all have an ability to hear in some form. Some will hear through feeling. Some will hear words, as does Noemi Grace and Lisa. Some will hear through what they know and feel. And through the synchronicities that occur in their life. And so this question is so important because it brings up the soul. The soul is your timeless being. It is that timeless essence of who you are through many lifetimes, through the journey that you have been on, not only in this lifetime, but the soul continues and it grows and is moving towards wholeness. That is the desire of the soul. And so to respect the soul is to respect not only you, Noemi, or you, Lisa, or you who are listening, but is to respect who you are beyond that physical incarnation, beyond that physical body, beyond your personality, beyond the experiences that you've had that you're aware of, because you've had so many experiences that you're not aware of in a different time and place. And so the soul, to have an awareness of the soul, that I am a soul, I am not only a human being, but I am a soul. That is essentially important for you. To recognize that you are a soul and that timeless being, and how do you nurture the soul, and how do you nurture the timelessness of who you are? And so when you respect your soul, you are coming from a deeper perspective, from a broader perspective, where you do not only look at what is good for me in this moment? You look at what is good for me. It is a place of recognizing that you are someone that is more than what you're being and what you know yourself to be in this moment. Because who you are is timeless, is eternal, and is divine at the essence. And then, of course, wrapped up with human experience. And so to discern what is best for your soul, first you must recognize that you are a soul, and that it is important to remember that and consider that on your journey, to be aware of that as you go through your life. And so as you choose chocolate or pistachio, okay. I'm sorry. Sometimes they come up with things that make me laugh. I'm going to go back there. Chocolate or pistachio, two things I like. As you choose chocolate or pistachio, is it good for you in this moment? Is it good overall? Maybe neither is really the best thing for you, for your soul. And so, especially in relationships. So we made light with chocolate and pistachio just to get Noemi Grace to laugh. But especially in relationships, the soul aspect of relationship. What is good for my soul, for the truth, the essence of who I am? Is this relationship nourishing and nurturing me? Is it helping me grow and expand and blossom and bloom? Or is it something that I'm struggling with and suffering with and feeling diminished by and rejected by? And so being able to take the soul perspective, it is not just a matter of, can I get what I need today from this person? It is a matter of, do this person and I benefit each other? Do this person and I nurture and nourish each other? Do we uplift each other? Do we bring each other more into ourselves of who we are? These are the questions you want to ask. Do this person and I bring us deeper into the truth of who we are? These are the questions that we encourage you to ask, because you live without the awareness of the timelessness of your being. And so many of you are in this place of, what is good for me now? What do I need now? I need this. I need that. This person isn't meeting my needs. This person isn't giving me what I need. This situation isn't meeting my needs. This job isn't meeting my needs. I need this. I need that. And while humans, of course, have many needs, we want you to recognize you are not only human. You are much more than human. You are beyond human. And what is good for your soul may be not what you think you need right now, because your soul has a knowing. And it is important to know how to access the soul. And that in and of itself is a whole other, it is a course, it is a workshop. It is so much that we can tell you. It is a book. It is so much that we can tell you about that subject. But to know how to access your soul, to know how to commune with your soul, to communicate with your soul, to step into your soul essence, the truth of who you are, and seeing with the eyes of the soul, stepping into that essence of the soul and looking at your whole life. It is like looking at the vantage point of a high hill and seeing things you did not see when you were down in the valley or down in the forest and you could not see the forest for the trees, as you say. And so it is a different vantage point. It is understanding yourself in a different way, and it is nurturing and nourishing yourself in a different way. And what benefits you is important, and it is important for you to recognize what benefits you and what doesn't. And this is a practice. Asking yourself the deeper questions, as Noemi Grace read from the message we channeled to her a while back, asking those questions, does this benefit me? Does this nurture me? Does this uplift me? Does this bring me deeper into self-love? Because self-love is the journey to wholeness, the journey to fulfillment, the journey to oneness with us, the journey home that you are all longing to complete. Self-love is that journey that you walk on and you arrive home to yourself, to the true self, the essence of who you are. And so we have said a lot. And we have so much more that we could say. But we will end here with gratitude for all of you and for your willingness to step out of the suffering and out of the struggle into the truth of who you are and into the skills and the tools that you have so that you could live your life in a way that nurtures and benefits you. We are complete. Namaste.
Whew, I love Whoa. That one. Yeah.
Yeah, it felt good. I must say, there's a lot of that one I don't remember, but because they were talking about the soul and I...
Lots of the soul. There's two major highlights I'll share with you because they repeated it and in order, and I was impressed because I wrote it down. I went, oh, I'm going to remember that some, you know, what are some benefits of discernment? Well, does it nourish you? Does it lift me? And does it help me go deeper into the truth of who I am? And they said it in that order twice. And I went, yes. And cause I love my validation of note taking. But at the end, the biggest aha that I got completely, this is amazing. This show is called Access to Angels and Grace. But why? Why? Because our entire journey to fulfillment, which is the journey home, is from access to our souls. And that's mm-hmm. what they're saying. This is how we use discernment to gain access to our soul.
That is a beautiful distinction. Wow.
Yes. Thanks, Source. Thanks, Noemi.
Well, thank you. Did you notice the validation, the acknowledgement that you got yes. at the beginning that you heard them use that? They popped that question into your awareness about, because yes. that was not at all any awareness I had when we started the show. Yeah. So I just love how well the flow is between the two of us and the divine, the three of us, the many of us, because the divine is, you know, is oneness, not just yes. one, but oneness.
I'm going to coin a new term instead of having, we're not a mastermind, we're a master soul. That doesn't work as well, but I know we'll sneak away to commercial, but if I wish we could, I'm going to see if I hear any more questions that come through, but that was a biggie. We might need to unwrap that a little more. This is the busiest my note page has ever looked, but in the end, I'm feeling like discernment is one of our top soulful tools. So thank you so much, Tony. Let's come back after commercial and get some more fun stuff here on discernment.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Did you know that you have the power to change anything in your life? Did you know you can do so even with the things that you've already decided are impossible to change? Come join me, Venus Castleberg, on Outside the Impossible as I interview people from around the globe that have literally changed the things they thought were impossible to change just by using the amazing tools of Access Consciousness. Now airing Wednesdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Do you dare to believe that anything really is possible?
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Right. Gosh, you know what's funny, Noemi? The commercials seemed to really flow there because I was still listening, like chatting away in my little brain. Okay, so Mike, because we have such an opportunity. So when we, you know, do the actual Access Angels and Grace show on these Wednesdays, this is our time to have you share your gift in the channeling to Source and, you know, the divine, and ask these questions. And so I'm going to right away encourage everybody that we want to hear what your questions are. Like, I try to listen to everybody's throughout the week's time and gather what's coming up for me. But if you have a direct question, like a burning question, you're like, okay, I heard the show last week on boundaries, or, you know, on this week on discernment, and I have a question still. Like, it can be personal, it can be general, but Noemi, we are welcoming them to write them in and share with us and ask us that so that you can channel.
Oh, absolutely. And we do have the Access to Angels and Grace Facebook page. It doesn't have really much on it except for a couple of test videos from Lisa and I, and we'll be getting that up hopefully by the end of March, but you can still like it. It's still there. So you can like it, and you can post something there. And we're administrators on that page, so we will get notification that there's actually, somebody's actually posted something there. So, or yes, probably it'll wait our approval or something. I'm not sure how it was set up, if we're moderating or if people, but you can still post. We'll either get notified that you posted, or we'll get notified that you're awaiting our approval.
Right, or to a private message, because what I was really hearing, and it's so funny, I think this, I usually get the what about other people question for Source, because we're talking to a lot of other people, like right now through the airwaves. And so the question that came to me, so, all right, you know, we're standing on our discernment. We now like discernment. We now have a positive relationship with discernment and understand its role and how it can benefit us. And we know how to get there. And so I have a double question. It's on two things. It's a two-way street question on discernment. It is about what if other people don't like our discernment, like it doesn't match theirs, or what if we don't like theirs? And I want to make it a little bit more personalized, not just like a person walking along the street, you don't like what they're doing, but what if it's your children or your parents don't like your discernment, or your clients don't like your discernment, or you don't like your clients' discernment?
Like, or your spouse, yeah, or partner, you know?
Yes. Yes. Yes, exactly. Like, can we ask Source how to best, because I don't want, what I would think the negative way to go about that is to turn around and say, well, you're wrong and I'm right. Right. But we don't want that judgment and blame and all those things we said discernment is not. It's not about rejecting someone else's discernment or our own because they don't agree with us. So how do we handle disputes in discernment?
court or discernment court here.
Yes.
Judge Lisa.
Oh boy. I am a
like
Libra.
Judge Judy.
I am a Libra. I think the judgments are good. No. But yes, like, because yeah, I think that's the thing, is if I'm kind of not standing in my complete self, I might be a pushover, or I'll be the opposite of a pushover. Like I don't know what the opposite of a pushover. Overbearing, thank you. Couldn't think of one. Yes. So how do we avoid responding in that way that's not very repairing and not very accepting? But sure, we want to stand with our discernment. So discernment disputes, please.
Well, and I'm sensing that the word you mentioned right at the end there, accepting, yeah, has something to do with it. So,
okay.
So, all right. Discernment disputes. And I will not even repeat that one because the divine has heard it. So
yes,
just let me go deeper here.
Okay.
So divine, if you could help us with the relational aspect of discernment and the interpersonal aspect, which what Lisa's calling discernment disputes, and of how we can be discerning, but self-respecting and respecting of others, respecting of our soul and of their soul, to continue the prior question. This is an important question, because you are relational beings, as we have said many times and will say many times more. And so your experience primarily comes through and in relationship. And so through and in relationship, you have your discernment. Someone else has their discernment. This can be considered as a mismatch of truths. Many of you use that phrase, and I speak my truth. I will speak my truth. I should speak my truth. And my truth, knowing that someone else's truth is not the same necessarily as your truth, but that which resonates for you as truth, which is not the same as universal truth, it is personal truth. And so the personal discernment is along those lines. That personal discernment is what resonates for you and rings as true for you. And another person will have a completely different experience of their personal discernment. Something we have said to Noemi Grace that we will come out many books in the future is that each one's truth is their vantage point on the landscape of creation. It is how they see things based on where they're standing in their life with their life experiences. And so your discernment comes in that vantage point that you have. Wherever you are in life, you can only discern from that perspective. You may go deeper, you may go broader, you may move into a different vantage point and then perceive differently and then discern differently. But truthfully, as we speak of truth, truthfully, you cannot discern something that is not within that vantage point, that is not within your awareness and your perception and the way you perceive. Each one perceives differently, uniquely. Many overlap or they're very similar, but each one has a unique experience, and that filters into how you discern. So while we talked about respect of the soul in the first channeled message, we're here bringing respect of another soul. While you respect your own soul, respect the other soul. Respect their right to that position, not as a right that we're going to, you stand your ground kind of a right, but as that is how they see things. And not making it not okay, not rejecting their stance, their vantage point, their positioning. It may be contrary to yours, and that is okay from our perspective, but sometimes it is not okay from your perspective. You look to others to validate your truth, to validate your discernment. And if you receive that validation, now you can trust your own truth. You can trust your discernment. And if you don't receive that validation, you start to question, you start to second guess, you start to doubt. And all of that is because you have not learned to trust your truth, to learn to trust your discernment. And so as you learn to trust yours, as you learn to respect your discernment, apply respect to the other person's discernment, recognizing it is not going to be the same as yours. It may sometimes be the same as yours, but it is not universally going to be the same as yours, because you are not two people that are the same person. There are no two people, even identical twins, that are the same person. And so having that respect for both souls, for both of you on this journey of transformation from one place to the next and the next and the next and returning to wholeness and oneness, having respect, you may perceive yourself to be further along on this journey than the person you are with or the person you are having an interaction with. Wherever they are is not necessarily where you perceive them to be, but respecting their journey enough that you will not take offense and not need to defense or offense when they differ in their discernment from yours. And again, discernment is a skill. So your ability to discern clearly will be developed. Just like speaking a foreign language, your ability to communicate clearly in that language is going to be developed as you learn the language and you practice it over time. If you know a few words, you will be able to ask those questions or state those things, but that will be about all you can do. Your ability to discern how to communicate in that language, your ability to communicate will be limited. And so a skill of discernment must be developed. Someone may not have valued the development of that, or may not have even been aware that such a thing is possible or needed. As Lisa shared her experience earlier of not being aware of the need for discernment. And so to trust your own discernment and to allow someone else their discernment, even when they contradict, does not need to lead to a conflict. Just recognize that is their discernment. That is their perception of their truth in this moment, as you are perceiving your truth in this moment. And they do not line up. They do not match up. And that is okay. Allowing them their experience, which doesn't mean that if there's allowing them to override you all the time or you overriding them all the time, it means respecting their view, their perception, their discernment, and respecting yours, and allowing the both to coexist. together simultaneously in this time and space. And in this time and space, we are complete with this transmission. Namaste.
There's so much good stuff there. Yeah. Simultaneously, that was, you know, you said you had something, you felt like the accepting was going to be there, and the final thing that was shared was about allowing both to exist or coexist simultaneously. And I think that was beautifully wrapped. There's the bow.
Which she will be sharing about next Wednesday.
Yes, everybody. It reminds me quickly of a story. I went to Japan with two girlfriends, and we were climbing Mount Kurama. We wanted to see where Isui received his Reiki powers.
Wow.
And as we climbed, it was just such a beautiful view. I stopped to take that in, to look, and I thought, oh, wow, everybody, let's all take a picture from where we are standing together on this mountain, because we are all here in this moment, sharing this moment and this experience, but we're all going to take a picture of a slightly different angle. And you so were reminding me of that. I got to find those pictures now, because I think back in the day, though, we didn't even yet print them or anything, so we just had them on our cameras, but everybody had like a slightly different view, and they were all correct. They were all literally in the same moment, the same experience, in the same energy space, but yet all slightly different, and yet simultaneously perfect. And we just allowed and accepted that it would be a little bit different for us each. And so that kind of came to me when you were sharing that.
Oh, that's a great story. And the experience itself of climbing the mountain and, you know, experiencing Dr. Usui's, you know, however you experienced his experience, you know, that experience is unique too. It's going to be slightly different. Each one is going to have a slightly different, you know, somebody might have said, oh, I felt his energy there, or someone else might have been like, wow, the view was so amazing. And so that in and of itself also is unique, because we are unique. And
yes,
if we can value our own uniqueness, it's easier to value someone else's uniqueness, even if their uniqueness seems a little contrary to ours.
Yes, I like the contrary. And by the way, I think everybody would have had a different experience, because us girls got gabbing too much. We didn't realize that the lift actually closed on the mountain, so we had to climb it, whereas I don't think anybody else really did. So we got our exercise. I was not leaving Japan without climbing that mountain. But this is such a journey that we are literally, you know, as us in our little turtle shells, that which is our protection and our home and our comfort, and we're sticking our neck out as we, you know, nourish ourselves along this way. But this is really taking quite, we are from boundaries to, you know, that was such a big week for me. And now I feel like this discernment, I think I just graduated to, I can't wait to find out how and where discernment's going to show up in my life. And I'm going to welcome it and go, yes.
Yes. Well, and the comfort zone in between there was big too. So
yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I really loved how you were sharing with me that whatever we do in our program here is showing up in your life big time, and you are growing and transforming through all of this, because it's in your face, you know.
Yes.
Giving you opportunity.
Is it ever? Yes. Oh my goodness. Well,
yeah, so.
So as we close up for this, yes, yeah. Is there something you want to either share, close off with, or?
No, I was just going to remind people that on my website, noemigrace.com, noemigrace.com/access, a special offer. And I'll be taking that down probably in the next month or so. So if you're interested, take a look and contact me. But I will be unavailable for, well, by the time you hear this, actually, I will be available.
Yes. It's hard to do future planning.
Yeah. Oh, timeless awareness. It's all good.
Yes. Well, yes. And we can just share that, yes, we're doing this show, but Noemi, we've got Ecuador Energy for you guys, the next show. And it, like we said, we're inviting you to private message us, let us know, or post it on the Access to Angels and Grace Facebook page, which we will be putting out there to invite people to like. And we would love for Noemi to be able to channel some questions for you from Divine.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. All right. Well, thank you so much. Thank you, Noemi. I'm going to go be very discerning and
Lisa.
Happy about it.
Okay. You're welcome. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, everyone.
Okay. Bye, everyone.
Have a blessed day.